All right, before we get started, if I could have everybody close their eyes for a moment, get comfortable in your seat. In this moment, I want you to feel the collective love of everybody in the room, the collective fellowship that we're all here to seek, the joy of recovery, and the reason we're all here, which is to celebrate a new life within the program. And now, put your hand on your heart, take a deep breath in, letting all that good, and expel any of the negative that may still be there. Thank you all. Hi, my name is Scott, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Scott.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be with all of you tonight. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm gonna tell how it was like, how I came to the program, and now what it's like today. So I was born in a very small town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. A beautiful little town, very idyllic. I was always the biggest kid in the class. You know, I was always the funny one. I was always the one that had a joke because he maybe was a little awkward, you know, and didn't really know where he fit. But overall, I had a really idyllic childhood. I had two parents that loved each other. I had a community that cared about me. But there was always something deep down inside me that I just didn't know exactly where he kind of fit in the world, you know. And as I continued to grow older, I had food allergies, some food insecurities because of these food allergies. I had some issues with social anxiety, with people around me, but it stayed at bay for the longest time. And then as I went through my life, and I started getting more and more freedom within my life, things like a car, a job, excessive income, that's when the food addiction really came out. And I can't sit here and tell you that there was a specific point in my life when I started having a food addiction, but I know once it got to its climax, I definitely had one. So as I was going through high school, I had a job at a movie theater, and we got all of the free snacks and all the free lovely things, and we ate out all the time, and I started learning many, many bad habits and the wonders of having a car where you could hide all of your food at. And I don't know anybody else in here is, but I was a big car eater. That was my biggest trigger, definitely. That was something that I did all the time. And I started gaining more and more weight. I started having a lower and lower self-image, and because of that, I was becoming someone who just didn't really know how he was going to succeed in the world. So because of that, my layers and layers of, I'm okay, everything's fine, this is fine, I'm great, everything's great, I'm going to put on a brave face for the world, I'm going to be the president of every club, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do everything, I'm going to be the biggest busybody you've ever seen under the sun, because I had to prove to everybody that I was fine all the time. Of course, I was not fine all the time. I was hurting on the inside. And so eventually I went to college. You know, some people gain the freshman 15. I gained the freshman 150. Well, you know. And it was just me learning all these habits and developing an insanity around food that was no longer sustainable to living a healthy and spiritual life. I mean, I was hiding food in the walls, in the ceiling. I was hiding it from friends who could have cared less, right? What 20-year-old guy is going to care about your buddy having a pizza right night? But I cared. I cared about what everybody thought about me. Because not for one second, I can get out of my own head. I was always constantly living in that fear, constantly living in the self-doubt, the paranoia of the people around me, that everybody was out to get me, and that everybody didn't care about me. And so this continued on, these cycles of binging, of feeling horrible about myself, about not knowing how to fit, about having to prove that I was a human in this world. And because of that, I eventually got out to about 500 pounds at my heaviest. Yeah. And my parents approached me, it was the last year of my graduate degree, and they're like, we found this little retreat in Minnesota, and we think you should really go, and you should meet some people, because we think you have a food addiction. And I have been never more pissed at them in my entire life. And I sat there in a lot of anger, and I didn't do anything, and they're like, well, don't you want to research it? Don't you want to send an email to people who are running it? And I typed up this email, I sent it to them, they responded, but I never responded back. I just wanted to be done with it. I was done with it, forgot about it. I signed up for February, 2 months later, I didn't think about that till the night before I left. I remember the night before I left, I panically rushed. I got everything together because I didn't pack because I was in the food, and I was living in insanity, and everything I did ever was last minute, you know. And I got that all together, and eventually I went, and I cried the entire way there, you know. And I stopped and I binged the entire way there too, because I was like, oh, this might be my last hurrah, you know. But when I showed up there, I was Mr. Everything's fine, everything's great. I had to make sure everything's fine, everything's great, nothing's wrong, nothing's bad. So I remember I showed up, put on the bravest face I could, was so excited to show them how I was not a compulsive overeater. I was to show them I had a really healthy relationship with food. and that I had a thyroid issue that wasn't diagnosed. Yeah, we've all been there. And I will tell you, I think I lasted about 10 minutes in that before I just started bawling and breaking down and they cut through, because what it was the steps. It was the steps. For the first time, for the steps made in my life something that I couldn't look past. It made it something that I had to face head on. And so in my time there, I got started with the steps, I worked through them, I was built back down, I was built back up, and for the first time in my life, I didn't feel like I had to prove, and have to prove I was a human, and have to prove like I was in the space, I could just be in the space. I could be around these people who cared about me. And I heard stories from all these people, right? From folks who were nuns, high-powered lawyers in New York, moms in Minnesota. And we all had the exact same story. There wasn't a single individual that displayed any uniqueness. So who was I to look at the program and say that it's not going to work for me, right? And so I had this new lease on life. I had to go out. I got to work it. I worked it hard. I worked it fast. I worked it very fast. And for the first time, I was able to work through emotions that I never could work through. I remember being up at night fretting and worrying about the smallest little thing, right? The little social interaction that you didn't mean to have back in the day. The misstep here or there. And for the first time, I could use the 12 steps and work through these fears, work through these resentments, work through these amends. And they no longer had weight on my soul. They no longer were something that was going to keep me in the perpetual state of being that I was. And so through that, I started seeing a life, because for me, the program has to work in a very specific order in my life. I work my program so I can be healthy. I'm healthy so I can live my life. And it always has to stay in that order. The second that it's out of that order is the second my life starts falling apart again. And I did. I worked the steps very hard. I got to sponsor people. I got to work with amazing programs. And through that, I was able to get to a healthier weight. I was able to lose 250 pounds. I was able to go out and sponsor people and work with people. I was able to be these amazing communities and be these people's fellow, something that I never could imagine. And I got to do things like comedy. I got to get a job. I graduated graduate school. I had to do all these amazing things because I kept the program in that very sequential order. And it was going very well until this summer. Now, I was still doing the food. I was still keeping it, but it was a diet. It was 100% a diet for me. That's all it was anymore. I stopped going to meetings. I did the bare minimum of outreach for the few sponsees I had. I didn't work the steps at all how I should have, and I was miserable. I was in a perpetual state of just not feeling good about myself anymore and feeling like I had to prove my place in existence, feeling that I had to prove I was a human. So finally, a fellow was like, hey, how's that meeting attendance going? Because they know. They always know. And I decided to actually tell the truth. And I was like, it's not going that well. I'm still abstinent. It's still abstinent. It's still good. I'm good. I'm fine. Everything's fine. But they didn't know. They knew it wasn't the truth. And so I went to a Monday meeting. And I tell you not, this was the exact quote in the big book that we started in on that Monday meeting. It is easy to let up on a spiritual program of action, rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do so, for alcohol or food is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. These can exercise our willpower along this line we wish. The proper use of the will. Yeah, I wasn't doing any of that. I was like, my will be done. I was trying to be the actor, the director, all that good stuff. I was not doing it. And I broke down again. And I told myself after I went to that gosh darn retreat center that I wasn't going to do this again. I wasn't going to break down. I wasn't going to cry in a meeting again. I was going to be the person that was the happy light, awesome all the time. But it's a subtle foe. Food is a subtle foe. Food will always nip at me. If I don't work this program, like my hair is on fire. There's a great line, right? That it's a race against our own mind. That's this whole program. It's a race against our own mind, right? And if I'm not working out at the gym mentally with the program, if I'm not going and running my steps like I should, then that food addiction is out in the parking lot doing push-ups and getting ready to take me out, you know? And so with that, was able to realize why I needed to bring those back into my order. I was able to bring the programs back, able to get on track, and was able to move forward and live a happier life. But that's not the end of it, because I've learned that there are many more things that I always must be doing. I always must be sponsoring someone. I always must be sponsoring someone new. I always must be working the steps with them. I always have to be making outreach calls, and I hate making outreach calls. I love you all, but I hate the outreach calls. You know what I mean? They're difficult, you know? I had to make an action plan. I never made an action plan until this past few months. I never did that. I never journaled. I made sure to start doing that because there's nothing like actually feeling good instead of having to prove to others that you are good. And so, with that, I have to say, could we all please do, this is my, the set-aside prayer, because I really like that one right now. Lord, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I know about others. I have a new experience with myself, new experience with my fellows. And the reason why that's now my new mantra or my new prayer is because I was putting things in front of my higher power and in front of my program. That's why I wasn't going to meetings. And I need to set aside everything that I think I know about myself, everything I know about my higher power. And that's why I need to now have an attitude of gratitude with this, because there are so many gifts that the program gives us. There are so many ways in which we can come together as a fellowship and have a group of people. I remember just being blown away because never in my life was there a group of people on a Zoom call that were complete utter strangers that I knew really cared about me, really loved me. They never met me. I've met some of you tonight for the first time. I think with all of that, it shows that this is something different, right? This isn't a diet. This isn't Noom. This isn't Weight Watchers. This isn't whatever. And the reason why none of those worked for me, and trust me, I did every single one of them, every single one of them, is because it was that third component. It was that third step on my stool. It was that third little leg on my stool. And without that, I was never going to stand. And so I'm very happy to say that I'm still abstinent. I'm about 2.5 years of abstinence. Thank you. And now I have a spiritual program that can hopefully live up to that. And now I can hopefully live up to all that with you. But with that, I will pass. Thank you all so much for your time.